But in Revelation chapter number 16 and verse number 17, we want to talk about this morning the wrath of God, the things that we see. We had a title message, it'd be the big one, sudden but not without warning. The big one. That sounds a little crude, but I'll explain that in a minute. You'll understand. The big one, sudden, but not without warning. And folks, I want you to know God knows what He's doing. He never made a mistake. You believe that? God has never made a mistake. And He never will make a mistake. God knows what He's doing. But in Revelation chapter 16, I want to read in verse number 17. You've got a scope of your Bibles, page 1345. You can find it quicker. And it said in Revelation 16 and verse number 17, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, It is done." Now I'd like to share just a little thought there, and you might want to compare this, and this is not the message, I just throw it in. What did the Lord say on the cross of Calvary when He gave His life for mankind? Did He not look down or up into heaven and down at mankind and say, "It's finished"? That's what He said. Now at the end of the tribulation hour, we're getting close of it in the 16th chapter, the Lord is saying through these angels, He's saying, "It's done." Now the Lord has got some end on all that you see. And I want us to notice a few things. He said in verse 18, "And there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." You'd think man would turn, but he went in the opposite direction. Read what this verse with me again in verse 18. Now I'm going to talk about this a little while. "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake." Now notice the next little phrase. "Such as was not since men were upon the earth." That's the greatest earthquake ever happened, according to what I read out of the Scriptures, if I didn't interpret that wrong. It said, "such as had not ever happened in the days of mankind," when He's telling us, "so mighty an earthquake and so great." Now, with that said, let's bow our heads this morning for prayer. Our Father, we approach the throne of grace cautiously. Oh, God, we approach it this morning only because You allow us to come before the throne. And it's by Your grace that we can come, Lord, to the throne of God to find help. Lord, here's a needy creature standing before You. Oh, God, touch my mouth that I might preach. Oh, God, touch my heart that I have the concern and the compassion for the people it ought to have. Oh, God, touch my mind that I might comprehend and understand the things that I need to say. Oh, God, take over the preaching. Do the preaching this morning. God, hide us this morning behind the cross. Lord, we plead the blood over every soul. And if there's one in this building lost without God, oh, kind God, today, reach down and convict them. Cause them to see themselves as a sinner. Help them, Lord, to see that the only refuge is Christ. Help them to see that the only hope is the blood. Help them to see, Lord, that You're the only way. Lord, nothing else will count. Lord, God, have Your way now as we endeavor to preach. Lord, the unsearchable riches of Your Word. Have Your way. Speak to us and speak through us and speak for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The big one, sudden this morning, but not without warning. Just a few weeks ago, and I remind you again and bring it back to you, those preachers have got a bad habit of cashing in on things that happen around us. But just a few weeks, as a matter of fact, in the last 2 to 3 months, we saw God's hand deal out some things I want to tell you this morning, has been kind of unheard of, and all of a sudden it's happened. And we think about, the first thing comes to my mind is just a few weeks ago when Hugo struck over on the East Coast and demolished the homes and multiplied thousands of people. I think about a few days after Hugo come through, there was a little storm brewed up in the Gulf and came up. They called his name Jerry, and Jerry done some devastation down there in the Gulf cities, and people lost their homes, and people had to stand back and look at things. And then just a little while behind that, we find a big earthquake out in the west coast of California that shook up folks and took people out into eternity. And while I'm preaching this, I remember this morning on the news that the fellow they dug out and got him out of there for 4 days, I believe it was, that he was buried in all the rubble. They put him in the hospital. I don't know his name. Can't think of that. But they said that he passed off into eternity through the night. That man's not even around now. But I'm trying to tell you that things has happened in the last few months that God is trying to get our attention on. And now we see the West Coast was disturbed and demolished, and people lost their homes. Many lost their lives, and many of them, brother, were discomforted. And God, I believe, through all of it, was trying to get the attention of the people of the United States of America. Amen. And then just this week, a storm came through Huntsville, Alabama, demolished the place, and took a lot of people's homes, took their habitations away from them, went over into Coweta in Georgia, and took away those noble homes. I said about 20 or 30 of them was demolished, and then God sent a little tornado down in Clarksville, and there he demolished, I think, they said between 15 and 20 chicken houses, and some dwelling houses. Listen, folks, God is trying to get the attention of us. We better wake up. We're living in the last days. We better get our eyes open. We better get our understanding enlightened. We better understand that God is trying to speak to mankind. They told me that there's about 15 or 20 chicken houses. Now, I looked at that. You know, I mean, there was those chicken houses and those things there. And it bothered me. I began to think about it. Reckon what the biggest production that Habersham County has. Wouldn't you probably say it's the chicken business? Wouldn't you probably say that? Let me tell you something. God is trying to speak to us. God's trying to get our attention. A quarter of a million chickens, they said they lost out on. Brother, let me tell you, God is trying to get us to understand. He's rattling our chains. He's shaking our tracks. He's trying to get us to see that He is wanting to tell us something. He's used droughts in the Word of God to touch His people. He's used pestilence in the Word of God to touch His people. He's used floods to get people's attention. He's used wars to get people's attention. Wouldn't it be good if we'd just pick our ears up this morning and say, yes, Lord, to the truth of God? Wouldn't it be good if we'd go ahead and do that and not wait till the judgment of God falls? But let me say this. In Revelation chapter 16, there the Bible said about an earthquake, and I want to deal with that in just a minute. And I want to go back. A few weeks ago when the earthquake happened in California, one of the commentators that's been on my mind ever since he said it, I still go back to it. He said it 5:03 out there in that stadium with the crowds waiting for the World Series to be played. The number one thing in their mind was seeing them throw a ball down the field and somebody struck it with a piece of wood. That was number one. But at 4:05, nobody cared about the World Series. God turned it around, and God changed it. God knows how to change our priorities. He knows how to turn us around. He knows how to get our attention. He knows what to do and how to do it, and He does it well every time He does. And then I heard all those news commentators say, well, said there was a fault over there, and that was a huge earthquake and a large earthquake, but that's not the big one. So that's not the big one. So my mind started going to scriptures, and since that time, God's been dealing with me. But here's the big one in Revelation chapter 16. Now you get the message, don't you? You understand what I'm saying? The big one, sudden, but not without warning. Now those folks out in California has got the warning.
They've been told that they're living on a fault line. They've been told that. And it amazed me what a fellow said. He said, we're going to have to study this thing and wonder why our bridges failed. How come they couldn't survive the earthquake? I got to thinking, boy, God in His infinite wisdom knows more than man. And man, his little puny mind, thinks he can construct something that God can't destroy with just a voice of His mouth. Amen? How pitiful, how low down can we become? You'll never make anything earthquake-proof. Amen? You'll never make anything like that. Now, a saint of God can put in a place where he can be earthquake-proof. I'm earthquake-proof. Amen? Yes, sir. You said, preacher, you mean earthquake can't bother you? It may come around and shake my foundation, take me to eternity, but amen, I'll be shouting over on the portals of glory, land. I'll be walking up and down the street of glory, waving my hand and praising God. You see, I'm earthquake-proof. It may take me out of this world. Listen, I'm fireproof. Praise God. I ain't going to burn. Amen. I'm waterproof. I'm not going down in no flood. Amen. You think about these things this morning. I'm glad I'm stormproof. Praise God. I'm going through some storms every once in a while in my life, but I'm stormproof. Praise God. The storms can't get us down. One of these days, we're going to shout it out on the other side. Saints of God, listen to me. We're going to a place where the troubles are going to be over. The heartaches are going to be over. The cares are going to be over. We're going to shout it out, glory to God. Amen. Praise God. The big word, Satan, but not without warning. Now, everybody today, they talk about God being a good God. He is. They talk about God being a gracious God. Oh, He is. They talk about God being a wonderful God. And hallelujah, I can state the fact He is. Amen. I am what I am by the grace of God. But that same God who's loving and kind, that same God who cares for you, and that same God who understands you more than anybody, and that same God who loves you like nobody has ever known love before, that same God is also a God of wrath, and He will not tolerate our foolishness, and He will not let us go on and despise His name, and reprove the Word of God. Listen, He will not let us take it in our own heads. He wants to run the show, and we better let Him today. You listen to me. God knows I'm telling the truth to you. Now God knows how to get to you. He's doing everything He can to get your attention. I trust you get the message. The big one. The big one. Sudden, but not without warning. You see, God's warning us every day. Now something's going to happen to this whole world one of these days. And people don't realize it. But it's going to be sudden, but it won't be without warning. Alright? God may use death. Let's get it down to a personal thing. God spoke to different cities. God spoke to different towns in the Bible. God spoke to different nations. But God can speak to you personally. He may have to take death to do it to get your attention. You may have to put your arms around your little wife and stand out in the cemetery and watch them roll a little baby down in the graveyard. And bury that little child. And you look in the face of each other and say, if we lived right and stayed right with God, we might not have put our child to rest in the cemetery. Now listen, I believe God speaks like that. You may drive home one day, and as you drive up and you drive away, find that your house is burned down to the ground, and you've lost everything you've had, and you don't have a thing anymore but the clothes on your back and the car you drove up into. God may have to take a personal fire to you to get your attention, but He can do it. He's God.
Amen.
Alright? God may have to do more than that. He may have to send your little personal earthquake around to wake you up. He may have to send a storm through to take away your property, to take away your things, to take away your bones. He may have to let you face head on in a collision down the road and watch the health fade away from you in the hospital. He may have to roll you up in a semi-tractor trailer truck to get your attention, but God knows He's God. He can do that. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. God knows I'm not. God knows where I'm at. My little girl running out in the storm. She was disturbed. I was running around trying to find me something to eat like normal. And I was going to hunt me something out of it. And they was aggravating me. They said, well, here he is. The storm going to blow us away today. He's trying to find something to eat. I said, bless God. I'm going out with a full stomach. Hallelujah. I wasn't worried about the storm. And I tried to tell them, hey, God knows where I'm at. I can't go. I'm not going to sit out in the yard and put my thing up in the face of God and defy Him and dare God to come get. He just might show me who He is. Amen. But I'm not going to try to hide. I'll do the best I can. I'll take as much shelter as I can. I'll stay out of the dry or stay out of the water. I'll get in the grass somewhere. But listen, I'm not going to tempt God, but I'm not scared of that fact. Listen, He just take me out of this world. I'll shout it out over there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Absent from the body is to be what? Say it to him. Say it. Present? Prayer. With the Lord. Amen. You got it. You see, we've gone to another land. We're going out of the soul world when the strife's over. Praise be unto the name of God. And so the storms, He may have to send them your way. God's trains run slow, but they run on time. It may look like God is never going to do anything. But He will, in His own time, He will do. He'll bring judgment to pass. God's arrows are always on target. He never misses. God never aims an individual and misses his soul. God never aims anybody and misses them. God never rattles a chain but what somebody's on the other end. God knows where you're at. God can find you. You can't hide. Give up now. God this morning wants control of your heart and life. A big one, sudden, but not without warning. All right, people have been warned in the flood. Noah preached for 120 years. People turned a deaf ear, said, I don't want to hear the preacher. I don't want to hear the man of God. And listen, just as soon as the door was shut and the heavens blackened up and the rain began to come and the lightning began to flash, the thunder began to roll and the storm began to fill up the land, there was up there banging on the door of the ark trying to get in. I believe that as much as I'm standing before you, listen, but it was too late then. People not listening to what God has to say. God can bring the richest down. God can bring the healthiest one down. God can bring the wisest one down and put them down to nothing in a matter of minutes. It don't take Him much to do away with your substance. I looked at the newscast. Here stood those people. Daniel and Hugo came through. They're standing out there looking at the homes. They probably had a quarter of a million, half a million, and some of them over $1 million in their homes stuck out over yonder. And that was their pride and joy. Spent probably all their substance in that. That's all they had. And they washed it up in shambles. And it's all wrapped up in splinters. And they couldn't even sleep in it. But only God knows how to bring down the richest. God knows how to bring down the wisest. You may think you're smart, but God knows how to bring you down from your intellectual position and put you down with nothing today. You may have plenty of help, but tomorrow somebody may have to roll you in and out. God could put a stroke on you. You said, preacher, you're trying to scare me. No, sir, I'm trying to get you to recognize where it all comes from. Child of God, this don't scare him nowhere. Hallelujah. He can go through it anyhow. God will be with him. Can you see them rich folks? The rich folks, after they'd lost everything they had, went down to them shelters in the city. Yeah. And they brought there with the power. Right. God knows how to bring the high down to a low position. God knows how to get to you. God knows where you are. You can't run far enough to get away from Him. Right. All right? God sent preachers to warn people. God sent famines to warn people. God sent diseases to warn people. God sent heart attacks to warn people. God sent death to warn people. God sent adversities to warn people. And yet people are turning to deaf ear. God may have to send you your own personal storm, as I said a while ago. I'd remind you too in the Bible, come to mind right quick. Elijah one day said, oh God, I'm the only one. Ain't nobody else. And about that time, he looked over there, and God opened the heavens and put a little lightning in the sky. Put a little thunder in the sky. Shook the earth and put up a little earthquake. But God wasn't in none of that, he said. Then he spoke out of a still small voice of God, and he said to Elijah, what it was, 5,000 or 7,000, Daniel hadn't bowed a knee to Baal yet. Get up and go. And he fed old Elijah and sent him on. God had to send a personal storm down there to a backslidden preacher. Jonah said, I'll go down to Tarshish. I don't want to go to Nineveh. That bunch of Gentile dogs, I'm not going down to preach that bunch of buzzards. I'm going to stay up here. I'm going down to Tarshish. Now, you can do what you want to. God will let you. But I'll tell you, you may have to pay the ticket to get home. He got him a free trip. Amen. He paid them, bought him a ticket out, but he got a free ride home. God prepared us fish. God may be preparing one for you tonight, today. He may be preparing one for me. God help us to listen to God. And there old Jonah, they threw him overboard when they found out the backslidden preachers were causing the storm. God sent a personal storm down there to a man who was not right with God. And they threw him overboard. He went 3 days and three nights in that whale's belly. Made an old whale so sick. On the third day, he had to spit him out. Amen? And he went on his route down the road again. And that time, he went down to preach that bunch down there in Nineveh. And he preached, repent of the city will be destroyed within 40 days. Then, like a backslidden preacher is, he went up on the hillside and waited on God to blow him up. He just knew God was going to wipe him out. He just knew God was going to destroy him. And then when God didn't, because they did repent and sackcloth and ashes, and God spared them, then old Jonah got so mad and upset, and he said, do thee well to get mad. And then he's sitting out there in the hot sun, upset, and God caused a gourd to come up, put a little shelter over his head, and then God prepared a little worm, amen, to come up and eat the gourd, to cut it off his head so that he'd be back out in the sun. Listen, God knows how to send you your personal storm to get your attention. Don't let your life go so far that God has to rattle your chain and wake you in adversity. Wake up before then. I want to give some instances in the Word of God. We started off talking about the earthquake, and I don't want to get off that subject. But the earthquake, let's look at some things about the earthquake. The earthquake, some more places in the Word of God that the earthquake was used. The earthquake was used to proclaim the crucifixion of the Son of God when the Lord was on the cross of Calvary, up on the mountain of Calvary. Right at the end of that crucifixion, the Bible said the earthquake and the rocks rent. And I stood over there on top of Golgotha's hill several years ago. And I stood there and looked down below at that old bus station over on the rocks. You could see the little rocks twisted and looked like they'd slip past one another. And I said, oh, truly, truly, surely, this must have been where God shook the old earth. And let everybody know that His Son was crucified for a lost and dying world on Golgotha's rugged brow. And then we find the earthquake used even at the resurrection of the Son of God. For in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 2, the Bible said there was an earthquake and the angels rolled back the stone and Jesus came out of the tomb. You said, could He not come out? He could have come out with the stone on the mouth of the tomb. He didn't have to have the stone rolled away, and He didn't roll the stone away so that He could get out. He could have walked through it. Amen. But He rolled the stone away that I could get in and see that He wasn't there. Hallelujah.
Right.
Praise God. That's why the stone is rolled away. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying the message this morning. God's speaking to our hearts. You listen to God. Then the Bible tells me that He used the earthquake to liberate some of His children and convict an old sinner of his sins. In Acts chapter 16 and verse number 26, the Bible said, Paul and Silas began to pray and sing praises at midnight. They were in the stocks and bonds. They were in the jailhouse. And old Paul looked over to Silas and said, Silas, reckon you could sing up a tune? He said, yeah, I think we will, but first we'll have prayer. And Paul went to the Lord in prayer. He said, now Silas, it's your time to pray. And old Silas prayed a little bit, and they got in the spirit, and Paul said, it's time to sing. He said, I can't carry a tune and bucket, but I'm going to sing. Amen. And he started singing. I don't know what he started singing, but he looked over at Silas aghast and said, Silas, I'll sing tenor. You sing baritone or whatever you want to sing, and you just join in. Let's have ourselves a good time. And old Paul began to sing, and Silas began to sing, and God looked over the battlements of heaven, and brother heard the joyful sound coming up his ears, and God joined in on the bass, and when God hit the base. No hallelujah. The jailhouse swung open.
Amen.
An earthquake. Now you said it didn't happen that way. Prove me different. Amen. Praise God. It happened.
Yes, sir.
The earthquake happened. No jailer comes springing in. Said, Silas, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ and be saved. He'd been this modern budget preacher. He'd have said, just join a church, shake the preacher's hand, go to the baptismal hall. But he didn't say that. He said, believe. The key word is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You don't have to jump a beach to get saved. You get saved, you might, amen, and you might not. Amen. Let me say, you don't have to be baptized to get saved. You ought to be baptized after you're saved, but it don't take baptism to get you to heaven. I could just preach on a while on that. But let's go on. God used an earthquake. God used an earthquake in Revelation chapter 6. Turn with me. Let's read a little scripture. Well, take my word for it. Take what God says. Revelation chapter 6, verse number 12. Now, this world's in for a shaking. The big one ain't got here yet.
Right.
Them folks out in California looking for the big one. But I'm going to tell you where the big one is. Verse number 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. There's going to be a day when the sun won't come up again.
Right.
There'll be a time when the moon is going to turn to blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. You talk about earth moving equipment? Brother, God had it before man ever picked up and made a shovel. God said that every mountain and island was what? Going to be moved out of place. You said, preacher, do you believe that? Yes, surely. He's a preacher. Call him what you want to. Ignorant. You can call him hard-headed. You can call him whatever you want to. But he believes what God said. God said, every island and mountain is going to flee out of the places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bond man and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? There's going to come a time when people are going to run to the rocks of the mountains. Now listen, I've had people run from me preaching. They won't come to hear me preach. They don't like to hear me preach. But wait one of these days when God rattles their chain. They won't try to run. They'll try to hide themselves and try to get under something. And they're going to say, who's going to hide us from the wrath of Almighty God? You may outrun me, but you won't outrun God. You may not listen to me, but there'll be a time you'll listen to God. You see, I believe God put preachers in this land to warn people. God never called a preacher to put people to sleep. He never called a preacher to pat them on the back. God is always studying the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And if I'm wrong, and you can prove that to me, show me. I want to know the truth. Show me. But God has called men to wake up men in their sins. God has called preachers to wake us up, not put us to sleep. God has called men to warn people. He's called them to warn. Amen. God called preachers to warn His people of their sins and the judgment to come. But God uses Revelation chapter 6, verse number 12, to declare His wrath. Now, I wouldn't be at all surprised if Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 through 17 is not referring to the same earthquake that I read to you in the start of it, because when you get out there, and I'll tell you this, I ain't got time to get into the scriptures, but he talks about the seals. Now, the seals are just opening up as a general overall view of the tribulation hour when after the church has been called out of here. And so the seventh seal when it's open, or the sixth seal when it's open, is almost the end of this tribulation period. And that's when this great earthquake is going to take place, right at the end of the tribulation period. Thank God. You say, where are you going to be? I'm going to be up in glory. Amen. I'm just telling you about what's going to happen if you left here. If the rapture takes place and you're not ready to meet God today, and the Son of God comes to get you, you'll probably be in this earthquake, the big one. But listen, what a shaking over yonder. God will rattle your chain one more time and tell you about an old preacher that stood up there in the pulpit of Shirley Grove Baptist Church and told you about the big one. It's going to be sudden, but not without warning. You'll remember this message. You believe that? Yes, sir. All right? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 5.
Revelation chapter 8, verse number 5. And this is the earthquake God uses to establish His judgments on the earth. God's going to judge us on earth one of these days. They've given His prophets water, blood to drink. They've despised His prophets. They've burned His word. They've kicked Him out of sanctuaries. They've despised His preachers. They've burnt me of the saints at the stake. They buried them alive in the sea. They found to wild animals out in yonder, out in the wilderness. They've despised them. They've hated them. They rejected them. But God in His wrath one of these days is going to turn the table. Revelation chapter number 8, verse number 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast in the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. God uses an earthquake to proclaim His wrath that's going to be coming to this whole earth. Then in Revelation chapter number 11 and verse number 13, the Bible said, "And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven." Sounded like man still hadn't been able in the tribulation hour to figure out how to make something earthquake proof. 7,000's going to die because of that earthquake. And God brings this one to give glory to His name. Now this earthquake's going to give glory because people are going to recognize that He's God when He shakes them this time. In Revelation chapter 11, verse number 13. You ought to read verse 12 above that. Now, like what it said, the old two witnesses done been laid down in the street for 4 days, and there they were, or excuse me, 3.5 days, and they laid down in the street, and then God called them up, and He said, "Come up hither." You'll study the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, you'll see what He said to the saints. He says, "The saints, come up hither." Amen. Now that's where we're going to go. Amen. I'm waiting on that. And I like the old-fashioned southern term, praise God. Just come up hither. Amen. Now He's going to call us after a while. You believe that? Every child of God believe we're going to come up hither. I mean, raise your hand. Wave it right good. It won't see that. Amen. That didn't hurt you, did it? You see, we're going up there. We're leaving this old world of sin and sorrow after a while. All right. Now, things that are going to be sudden. Let me give you a few of them in the Word of God. Now, I'll rush it up and hurry as quick as I can and get through this message. Listen, sudden things. There's something that's sudden in the Word of God. Either has happened or will happen. Sudden things. And listen, travail in a woman comes up sudden. She's going to have a child. She may know about the time of the due date. But I'll tell you, I know we went through three at my house. And I mean, my wife was woke up in the middle of the night. I know what it is to get out and rub the frost off the windshield. And listen, I couldn't wait to sleep and wait for daylight to come. I had to scratch the frost off the windshield, take her to the hospital, because travail had then come upon her.
Yeah.
A sudden. Right. The Bible said there's another thing that's going to be sudden. And that's the second coming of the Son of God. But listen, it's sudden, but it ain't been without warning. For 2,000 years almost, man, it's been warned. And a woman in travail, she's been warned for 9 months that it's going to happen to her. Amen? And now we find the second coming of the Lord. It's sudden. Sure, it's sudden just like that. The Bible said in a moment, the twinkling eye, at the last trump, the dead in Christ are going to rise. Then we which are alive remain. He said the moment and the twinkling of an eye. That's sudden, is it not?
Yes,
twinkles faster than a bat. Faster you bat your eyes, thanks God, going to be gone from here. Amen? I often wonder how many churches might not miss too many of their members on Sunday morning if it happened between 10 and 12. You'll catch that after a while. Amen. Maybe that'll get in after a while. Praise God. All right. We see sudden things. We see some sudden things in the Word of God. Some things the Bible said about the coming of the Lord. He said, "In an hour that you think not, the Son of Man doth come." The Bible said in the book of Mark, "Lest coming suddenly He find you sleeping," in Mark 13:36. The Bible teaches me that the Lord's coming. I remember as a little boy, listen to this. I thought of this a minute ago before I got down this point. God gave me this. Listen. Little old boy. We had four boys in our family and one little girl. That little girl couldn't run as fast as us boys. We played hide and seek. Now, I don't know whether they play that this day or not. We played good games back when I was a kid. Hide and seek. You know what that is? You put somebody over here, he sticks his head down, he counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and he counts to 50. Amen? And while they're counting, we run hide. And we all
always, always got our sister trying to be the one had to do the counting. Go get out running her in. And she'd get her so mad. I know it wasn't right, but we did that. And she'd say, 1, 2, 3, 4, and she'd get up the feet, she'd say, "Daddy, not here I come." And I said that to say this, whether you're right or not, suddenly the Lord's going to come.
Amen.
Now, He's in the counting stage now. You better get ready. You better not hide in this case. You better come out and give your life to Christ. He's coming. In an hour, you think not. Suddenly. Then there's some other things. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 1, the man, if you want to turn there with me, in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 1, the Bible said, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God is saying, just go on, pay me no attention. Go on, pay my preachers no attention. Go on, pay my word no attention. Go on, pay the church no attention. Pay the spiritual things no attention. After a while, when God gets tired of reproving you time and time again, and throwing up the red flag, and throwing up the white flag, and telling you the signs of His appearing, His coming, after a while, God will cut you off. And suddenly, without any way of escape.
Right.
Just go on. And God will cut you off down the road after a while. Alright? We find some other things are sudden. The announcement of the birth of Jesus said, suddenly I was with the angels, a multitude of the heavenly host. You remember that when they appeared to the shepherd boys out there in the field? Suddenly, God appeared to them, told them His Son was born down yonder. They find in the Word of God that on the day of Pentecost, after the Son of God had done gone up into glory and into heaven, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it lit upon them. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they preached to those people who could not understand, and for the first time they heard the gospel in their own language. The Bible said, over in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, that Paul was stricken down on the road of Damascus. Suddenly, a great light shined upon him, the Bible said. Lord God struck him down. There's some sudden things in the Word of God. And then there's something else going to be sudden. It's going to happen suddenly. The judgment of God will fall upon this earth. And God will shake the stars out of the sky. Put His hand over the moon and the stars, and they won't shine again. And God's going to do His world a shaking it's never known before. The judgment of God is coming. All right? God said, and I'm closing with these thoughts this morning. God said that man is without excuse in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 20. In Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 1, God said, thou art inexcusable, O man. Now we this morning are without excuse. We may point our finger in the face of God after this message and say, God, I didn't know. And God will say, I sent a preacher boy down to Shirley Grove to preach it to you. And I warned you. And I told you.
Right.
Now, some of you have never heard me preach before. This is your first time you've ever heard me preach. That's right. Whether it be through this church or through the tapes, and through our tape ministry, some of you, you're hearing me preach for the first time. But this is the message God may bring to your remembrance at the judgment bar when you stand before God and He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, and I trust this morning that will not be so. I trust you give your heart to God right now. And not have to wait and put it off and procrastinate. You said, but if we knew, God said, thou art inexcusable. Men like D.L. Moody's come through this country and preach the gospel. Men like R.A. Torrey come through, blaze the trail for God. Men like C.H. Spurgeon stood up and cried loud and spared not the Word of God. We've had men in glory tonight, today like Oliver Green. I could just go, old Sam Jones. We could talk about many, many, many saints who have gone out that's come through this country and preached. We can think of men like Harold Sattler today is still preaching. We can think of men in our day like J. Harold Smith is still preaching the Word of God. And great men I've known of still preaching the Word of God today. And men saying no.
God said, you're without excuse. I sent my preachers. You said, but preacher, if I just heard, the fact is you have heard. You said, preacher, if I could just see. But the fact is, you have seen. You're without excuse. Bear with me just a bit, beloved friend. I used to say that a backslider could not be used of God. Now I want you to listen to me very carefully. I looked at this. Do you think this morning David has not been used since he backslid on God? David stepped out on the rooftop. He committed adultery with Bathsheba after he had her brought to his house. He committed murder, had her husband killed in the hottest battle. He took her as wife, and the sword never left his house. And you said, preacher, God used David up to the time he did that. But I'm here to tell you, God used David after that. He didn't use him in the full power that he used him in before, but he used him. You said, how's he used him? Listen, I can look back and see what happened to David. And I can take the faults and the failures of David, and I can see what would happen to me if I stepped foot on the roof. Top and got involved in the same thing. So God still uses. God uses backslidden people to bring us in check. You have seen. Many times you've seen people who walked away from God and God filled them maybe in a cemetery and took them out of this world in a premature grave because they wouldn't listen. You've seen people God has dealt with. You've heard testimonies that God dealt with people. Listen, you give testimonies that God dealt with you. And your testimony this morning is telling me that I'm without excuse when I stand before God. All right? You said, but preacher, if I could just experience it, you have experienced it. You've seen it. You've seen it around you. The earthquakes, the things that are taking place. God's trying to get our attention. Oh, but preacher, is there any hope? All the hope in the world.
Amen.
I'd go home if I didn't have something to preach to. Now you said, preacher, what'd you preach all that for? I feel worse than I did when I got here. That's because you're not right with God. That's because it's trouble. Listen, preaching the Word of God won't trouble you if everything's all right. Listen, I'm not worrying about dying. My old doctor may after a while get a hold of me. An undertaker may come down and pick me up, put me in a little stretcher, pull a sheet up over my head, and haul me in the back of a hearse up to those mortuary. He may cut my veins, put that old fluid in my veins. I mean, he may do all them things before the sun set. That don't scare me one little bit. He said, preacher, you want to go now? I'm not standing out in front of a freight train this afternoon. Amen? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to wait on God. He went to a private place, and I want to make sure He gets it all ready, and I don't go before it's finished. Amen? You catch that, didn't you? I want to make sure I stay here as long as God wants me to stay. But listen, it don't scare me to talk about dying. I know where I'm going. Praise God. While y'all are laying down, sitting down here, looking at an old body and coming by and saying he looks natural and lying like you can't. I mean, lying between your teeth and saying I look natural. Now, I look like I'm that bad this morning. Listen to me. While you're going by and weeping, and some of you go by smiling, but the rest of you, while you're going by weeping, and my children put their, maybe their lips on a cold brow and say, I'll see you later, Dad. I'll be over in glory shouting it out. And brother, listen, I don't have any cares and worries about dying.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Don't worry about it. I'll kick the lid off the casket in here one of these days.
Yes, sir.
I'll bring me back. I'll come through that and get out of the ground. I'll come. Amen. And we'll go home in a new body. You see, the reason people get disturbed is because God run their number.
Right.
I know what God's going to do this world. I want to warn them. And God uses the warnings to bring our heart to the place of repentance.
Yes, sir.
And once we see the need, then we ought to fall on our face and say, God, here I am.
Right.
Now, I've preached you the truth. Man, I've been the gospel, but it's the truth. Amen.
Amen.
A lot of difference between the gospel and the truth.
Right.
I mean, you know what the gospel is, John? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You said you ain't preached that this morning. But I told you the truth, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
I preached the truth to you. I preached some Bible truth to you. And now the gospel can do something for you. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And nobody looking around. I want to stand our feet right quickly while we come to the instruments. Folks, it might be a little long, but lengthy, but I'll tell you, I'm not apologizing. I preach the message of God. I give you exactly what I know God wanted us to hear today. He put this on my heart to preach to you. And I've told you the best of my ability. May not have been the way you'd have told it. May not have been the way the preacher up the street had told it. But I've told it the best way I know how to tell it today. To my best of my ability, I've tried to tell you the truth. I love everyone in here. There's not a one in this building that I can say this morning there's anything in my heart against you. I love you. I hope you can say the same thing toward me. But there's not an individual in this building, folks, that I want to see go to hell without God. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ has been given to you through the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that God sent His Son to die for us. And when He died on that cross, said it's finished, went to the grave and arose that third day victorious over death, hell, and the grave, ascended back into heaven, sent the power of the Holy Spirit down. And it's that Holy Spirit that's tugging your heart today. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And if you'll listen to God this morning, He'll put something down in your soul you've never had. He'll give you life you've never had before. He'll give you hope where you didn't have any hope before. Friend, God loves you. This preacher loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. And He's saying, come unto me. Our Father, speak to every soul. If there's one in this building lost, I pray you'd save them today for Christ's sake. Lord, have your own way. Have your way. Deal with hearts. Lord, may somebody walk the aisle, bow on this altar, and get right with God. In Jesus' name is our prayer. Amen. Sing. 244. Friend of mine, listen. God wants to save you if you're lost. He wants to clean you up if you've walked away from Him. This altar's open. Would you come on? Come on.